This episode is brought to you by CLA.
It's lunchtime in Midtown Manhattan, and at Bryant Park, where lots of workers come looking for some sunlight, fresh air, and time away from their desks, we found 23-year-old Daniela Levante from Long Island, New York. She's an assistant buyer for a discount retailer. She's been working there for just over a year, but we wanted to get her thoughts on something way down the line, retirement.
I've heard a lot that our age range will have to work more than the normal 65, so I'm definitely trying to do anything I can to not have that happen to me.
Daniela has just started contributing to her 401k. She, like many young workers, realizes that just having a 401k might not be enough. She also understands that the blueprint for a traditional retirement may not apply to her generation.
I don't want to be in my 70s working full-time, so it's definitely scary. It makes me worry for the rest of my generation as well, because I think not everybody has a good grasp or understanding of how to avoid that happening.
This is a special edition of Your Money Briefing for Wednesday, September 13th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Today, we begin a three-part series that could change the way you think about the future of work, your career, and retirement. Most people look ahead to their mid-60s as around the time their working years will end, capping off a 40-year career. But people are living longer, healthier lives, and living expenses are certain to keep rising. So for a lot of us, our working life is likely to last for two more decades, a 60-year career.
There are very few people who can work 40 years and save enough money to not work for another 30.
The shift to a 60-year career won't be this thing like a light switch where it's off and then it's on. We're going to be gradually making our way.
So what exactly does a longer career entail? And how can you start preparing yourself for one? We'll speak with Laura Karstensen, the director of the Stanford Center on Longevity, and WSJ personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker, after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELFT. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit claconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Mention retirement to someone during their working years, and it's likely to conjure up images of rest and relaxation, probably starting in their 60s, enjoying the money they saved up in their 401k and other plans along the way. The reality, however, is likely to be quite different.
So the standard timeline of a career that's probably in many people's heads when they think of what a career is that you leave school, you work for maybe about 40 years, and then you retire if you can afford to.
That's Joe Pinsker. He covers personal finance for the Wall Street Journal. And he's previously written about the idea of a 60-year career for The Atlantic.
The shift to a 60-year career won't be this thing like a light switch where it's off and then it's on. We're going to be gradually making our way towards that period of time being the relevant one for a career, just gradually.
So, what's one of the things causing this shift? Longevity. More people are living healthier lives, lasting well into their 80s or even 90s, meaning they have to sustain their lifestyles for longer. While it's difficult to know just how our population may change in the next century, some demographers have made predictions about how long the children of today's generation will live. One study by the University of Southern Denmark predicts that most babies born since 2000 in countries like the United States, Japan, Canada, or France with long life expectancies will celebrate their 100th birthdays.
So while this may not be as super relevant to people who are currently in the generation of being workers in their 50s or 60s or 70s. This is something that's going to be hugely important for people who are really young right now.
To get a better idea of what this might look like for younger workers, we spoke with Laura Karstensen, the founding director of the Stanford Center on Longevity.
Well, there's no question that the people who are going to experience it most profoundly are the people who are just entering the workforce now. So it's young people who are going to anticipate much longer working lives than people who are older today.
And the immediate reaction from the folks we spoke to in Bryant Park? No way.
I want to have my retirement. I want to do my time and then be able to retire and live the rest of my life.
I definitely am like afraid of working for my whole life.
Not ideal. No one wants to be doing that.
And Joe's heard this from people he's spoken with too.
From workers that I interview in my day-to-day reporting, the idea of an additional 20 years of work kind of freaks some people out.
But Karstensen says, at least biologically, a longer career could be in the cards.
Well, there's nothing magic about 65 or 60 or any other number. And today, most jobs are based on knowledge. So if we look at knowledge workers, in many jobs, the evidence suggests that we're peaking in our late 60s or early 70s. So the idea that we should be leaving the workforce based on an outdated norm is something that we need to wrestle with. People often think about the brain as being most affected by aging. Short of diseases like dementia, the brain is relatively spared as an organ system. Much more targeted are muscles and bones. So we become weaker, our bones are more frail. But for healthy people, there are very few changes in the brain or cognitive processing that would affect one's ability to do work.
So when it comes to working for longer, by and large, we're able to. Many of us will have to, and a lot of us may just want to.
When you ask people today who are working past 65 why they're working past 65, about half of them say that because they need the money, and the other half say because they love their work.
But regardless of why you're working longer, older workers will have to be especially careful about something facing workers of all ages, burnout. There's pressure to work hard and get ahead in your job, but also not miss out on life during a longer career.
The current way we parse our lives is into thirds, where we have early life focused on education, middle life focused on work, and then the end of life is on leisure. How about instead if we weave education and leisure and work throughout our lives? When we start to do that, working for 60 years sounds a lot more pleasant. If we can trade retirement age at 65 for, let's say, 30-hour work weeks and 6-hour days, but working more years, it starts to sound a lot more appealing. If we can find ways to let people work more and less throughout different stages and ages of their lives, maybe going down to 12 or 15 hours when you're raising young children, and then going up to 40 or 50 hours when you're on your own and those kids have been launched, and then down again as we begin a glide path toward retirement.
But of course, that would mean big changes to how all of us, from workers to executives to the government, think about work. Here's WSJ's Joe Pinsker again.
A lot of the things that would make a really long career more bearable are actually in the hands of employers to fix or the government to fix with certain labor protections and policies. But as far as what an individual person can do, I do think that if you are already in a line of work that you feel burnt out or overwhelmed by, there's even more of a reason to think about the possibility of shifting into something else that just feels like you could do it for longer without draining you so much.
Now, aside from getting yourself ready mentally, a much longer working life also means a different financial approach. The money in that 401k account, Roth, health savings account, or whatever method you may be using to save up for retirement might have to last you longer than expected. Next Wednesday, we'll look at how you can prepare your finances to sustain yourself for a longer period of time. And with a longer life, how will you know when you can actually afford to retire?
It's individual circumstances and expecting what people want to do in their retirement years. How do they want to spend their lives? all that is going to determine what kind of finances they need. It's a very complicated equation.
Today's show was produced by Ariana Osperu. It was mixed by Michael Laval. I'm your host, J.R. Whalen. Jonathan Sanders is our booking producer. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back with a new episode tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.